Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 16th of March, recording at 8:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Last week's stock market rally carried over into Asia and also into the European markets, which got a boost in their late trading by strong gains on Wall Street. However, the U.S. coughed up gains of 2% or more for its major indices and actually closed down a fraction. Well, a fraction for the Dow and the S&P, but the NASDAQ composite index, I see, was down nearly 2%. So the rally ran out of steam here this afternoon. Looking elsewhere, the long-dated government bonds were weak today, with prices sliding again. And in precious metals, we saw a bit of profit-taking here as well, although platinum and palladium closed virtually unchanged. But silver is back under $13, and gold bullion is trading as I speak at 9.24. Elsewhere in currencies, now the dollar was quite weak here earlier today. For instance, the euro had rallied up to 130.72. It's currently up on the day still, but it's at 129.73, so a cent off that high. And the Antipodean currencies were strong, but then gave up some of those gains overall. And what else to mention? Industrial metals. Yes, that was important. Copper and nickel had good gains. They all rose except for tin in here today. Copper seeing a breakout on the charts. The high grade closed at 173.55 cents. And nickel's back over $10,000, 3-month LME nickel. And the agricultural commodities were mostly higher in here today, particularly soybeans among the grain and bean complex. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, that blistering stock market rally that we had last week, which pushed the S&P at today's highs up 12.5%, nearly 13% from its lows that we saw last Monday, may have faltered in here. Now, I don't think anyone expected it to go up on a consecutive day basis, and I wouldn't read too much into today's action. But when you look at a number of those charts, including the S&P, that had rallied back to the region of the November low, and it had also pushed up at one stage. It wasn't all that far off the, I think it got up to 770, 775, and people looking at the 800 level, looking at the November low, and may well have expected a pause here. Also, some of the European indices have rallied back to the underside of their trading range, the European indices that had broken downwards, that is. Overall, I'd be surprised if the rally was over that soon, but I want to emphasize here that these indices, particularly the ones that had moved to new lows earlier this month, excuse me, they really do need to hold above those lows. If we were to see the S&P and the Dow and the European stock market indices move back down and through the lows seen earlier this month, all that would do, well, it would do a lot. It would confirm that we had seen no more than another brief technical rally, and it would reaffirm the overall downtrend. So that's the worst case scenario. Best case scenario, as I've said before, is that the lows that we saw early last week could just possibly, and again I emphasize this is the best case scenario, be the equivalent of October 2002's low, which marked the bottom of the U.S. stock market, although it was retested one more time just before the invasion of Iraq in 2003. So for a bigger rally, let alone the best case scenario, obviously we would need to see last week's lows hold. We would need to see gains consolidated above those lows, and with the indices pushing higher. I don't think I would feel confident technically that we had seen a really important low on the S&P unless it could get back above that late January, early February high, which would require a move back up to about 880 on the S&P, and I emphasize today that closed at 753, nearly 754. The long-dated government bonds have paired gains against the background of this stock market rally, and while there's plenty of talk going on about more quantitative easing, including the buying of these long-dated government bonds, not least by the central banks that would be involved in the purchases, that does seem to be very much of a jawboning effort overall. And my feeling really is that without another down leg to the bear market in equities, that the long-dated government bond markets would struggle to hold their gains overall. Nevertheless, if we get enough jawboning from central banks, it may well keep the long-dated rates lower. Either way, I certainly would expect higher long-dated rates when we have some optimism that the global recession is ending, and of course a recovery beginning. And we're nowhere near that point at this stage. I mean, some people are searching around and saying they suspect that a few things might be improving here or there. We're getting a PR campaign from the U.S. administration and beyond. You know, we had Trichet's comments last week, and all that helped to talk markets up a little bit. Cheerleading is not necessarily a bad thing, since we know that confidence has been the missing ingredient as far as stock markets and economic activity are concerned. And cheerleading is a lot less expensive than some of the other policies that have been utilized and or are still pending. Looking at the industrial metals, we're very much of the view that these are in a bottoming out base building phase, and it looks like the leaders of that process are copper, lead, and zinc. That leadership can change. A few months ago, I thought that nickel was in the pole position there, but that's slipped back in terms of overall performance. Although, as I mentioned earlier, it had a quite reasonable day today. Copper, I think, is the one that excites me the most here, and not least because China has to import over half the copper that it actually requires on an annual basis. And last month, China's copper imports set a record, and there have been stories that I've seen on Bloomberg saying that the demand for copper in China remains very heavy. This is a fuller money theme, as you may recognize, in that we've been saying that while some of the Western governments are having to bail out overstretched borrowers, including homeowners, and bailing out defunct corporations or zombie corporations, not to mention the zombie banks, that China is arranging long-term deals for resources. And it's done that with oil via Russia. It's certainly hoovering up a lot of copper and no doubt other industrial resources here at this stage, and they've got the money to do it. I think we'll be hearing plenty more about that as the world goes forward. Looking at, or thinking in terms of overall stock market activity, I maintain that the Fuller Money themes are going to lead the way back up when we do know for certain that this bear market is over. We see that in the base building activity of Asian emerging markets and a number of the emerging resources markets, and I think that's a very important signal. I think also that investors worldwide are going to know that merchant banks aren't going to be leading us out of this crisis, and therefore I think they will focus on the infrastructure building programs that have been announced by just about every country going. What else to mention here right now? Natural gas looks cheap at $3.84. I keep reading articles about rigs cutting down on production. That's largely in the Gulf of Mexico region and even continental USA. But that price still remains very, very weak. Overall, whereas crude oil and gasoline and heating oil all are ranging in what look like developing base formations, so natural gas is the laggard. It's tempting for someone like myself who likes to buy some of these depressed commodities, but the trouble is that you've got a very big contango there. So, unless the timing is immaculate, it gets quite expensive. And therefore, I've been concentrating more in a few stock market trades in indices mostly to catch the technical rally, and also in currencies. And I think I'll probably be doing more in currencies than most other sectors. And that will be favoring the resources currencies, the Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar. Certainly like the Asian dollar index. It looks to me very much as if the weakness in those Asian currencies is over for at least the short term. It looks to me very much as if the dollar is in a topping out process. It looks to me very much as if the yen has already topped out, so I will be trading these fairly actively because there's so much ranging activity. That's what I've been doing so far, but favoring the Australian dollar and the euro against the, and also the New Zealand dollar, against the yen and against the US dollar. I'll be doing that mostly on a baby steps basis, as I have so far. And I think that's pretty much it for today. So all the very best to all of you.